In a world where the dynamic challenges of climate change, resource scarcity, population growth, and inequality are testing the Earth's limits, financial actors play a crucial role in allocating their capital in a way that accounts for environmental and social risks, as well as supporting sustainable solutions. Why invest in sustainable resources, and what does it mean? Welcome to the Financial Bite. This episode is brought to you by Finadium. I'm your host, Annie Schmidt. And together we will explore lead-in topics in finance and economics. Interviews with thinkers, movers, and shakers in global finance to learn what's happening and what's next. Today we're talking with Elia Devay, Swiss innovative management consultant and project manager, interested in questions on sustainable finance, global development, and leadership. His vision is to drive systematic change towards a sustainable future by creating impact, fostering circular economy and international cooperation. He's currently working on a project that places a focus on how can global companies finance its transition to net zero carbon emissions while keeping customers happy, value its employees and respecting the suppliers. Hi, Elia. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Anise. Very happy to be here.
Let's start with a broad question on the topic. Why invest in sustainable resources and what does it mean?
In general, it means taking into consideration not only the financial outcome of an investment, but putting your money in places where it has a positive impact. The impact can be on the environment or on social aspects. And this topic in general is called sustainable finance. And currently, sustainable finance consists more or less of three parts, I would say. So the first one, you probably heard about it, it's the most mainstream one, it's ESG. And ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. So it's when companies try to look at their internal processes and improve them in the sense of environment, social, and governance. The second element of sustainable finance is the so-called impact investing. So you try to look at the output of a company and directly invest into companies that have a positive impact. And the third element are more new forms like microfinance, for example. Microfinance is when you have a small farmer that would like to create regenerative agriculture, you invest directly into it. And maybe a little difference between ESG and impact that is quite important to make. ESG is focusing really only on the inside processes of the company. So it can be that you have a coal or a gas company that has a very high ESG rating, whereas impact is focused more on the output of the company. So what is the impact towards environment or society? And then to your second question, why would you invest in this? Well, on one hand, it's about supporting projects that directly have a positive impact. And on the other hand, it's about internalizing externalities. And explain you what it means. When the financial system was built a few hundred years ago, it was built on a world with endless resources. But unfortunately, our planet is built on limited resources. And now we have to adapt the financial system to the limited resources we have. The nature offers us many services for free. So for example, the pollination for vegetables and fruits, water, air, capturing carbon and so on. These are so-called externalities. And now the aim of the companies that try to go green is to include those externalities into their costs. And maybe this leads to a higher price in the short run. But if we don't pay for the negative externalities economically, we pay for it socially. So it's a huge opportunity. It's a growing market and it outperforms the other markets at the moment.
Yes, as you said, it is a great opportunity. And you very much highlighted why we should invest in sustainable resources. On this topic, what companies do you see active in this space?
On one hand, there are the global companies. So these are the companies that you usually know. And there are some role models like Patagonia, you certainly heard of, or Microsoft, who wants to reverse their lifetime CO2 emissions by 2050. But then there are some movements. So for example, there's Climate Action 100 Plus. Maybe you heard about it. It's many global companies are in this movement and they try to support companies in their process to go net zero. So it's really about the measurement of all their carbon emissions. And then a big part in the whole sustainable finance world is about this so-called non-financial reporting. So there's, for example, the GRI, which are the global reporting standards that are coming up. Then there's the SBTI, which is called Science-Based Target Initiative, which tries to align the aims of the companies with the Paris Agreement. Or there are labels like B Corporation that you maybe heard of, which is about companies, private companies, that can measure really their processes and their impact. And then another big name that you always hear over and over are the SDGs, so the Sustainable Development Goals, which is an agenda from the United Nations, which is really focusing on all these global issues that we're having. So for example, it's the circular economy instead of a linear one, it's renewable energies, or it's gender equality. So topics you can invest into.
Do you see any counter trends emerging that would shake up the sustainable investment industry?
I think these are not new trends, but they are rather old ones. So I think on one hand, we have the greenwashing, where we see that some companies are talking about green, but don't really walk the talk. And then there are other voices that are saying that impact investing is not profitable, but there are various studies that prove pretty much the opposite. But there are more emerging trends which are supporting this movement of sustainable finance, and they're mainly in the technical area that I could mention here. I know two of them. One of them is blockchain. So there are blockchain technologies that allow land stewards to sell their ecosystem services directly to buyers around the world. So they make it accessible to everybody. And then there are the so-called robo-advisors, which are digital asset managers that use an algorithm to ensure that each investment portfolio follows the best investment strategy for its owner.
So my next question concentrates on the great attention that new generations are directing to global warming and to the issues related to our planet. Do you expect a growth in young investors in sustainable resources?
I do. I mean, especially if we look at the last few years, investing is not just for big investors anymore. When you want to put your money into something, it grows and it gives a substance, and it really became accessible for everybody.
And how do you recommend Gen Z and millennials approach sustainable resources?
Right. So from the sustainable finance aspect, it's really just open an account and start with a very small amount to invest. I can tell you about some movements that are happening right now. So for example, in Switzerland, we have Yova, which is a platform. It's an app where you can say what you want to invest in. So for example, in which SDG you want to invest in, and then it creates you directly a portfolio and you can decide how much money you want to put in. Or there are online banks. There's one called Tomorrow, which is very different from conventional banks. Conventional banks use your money and invest it in weapons, in coal, in other harmful industries, basically without your consent. And now sustainable online banks invest your money exclusively in sustainable projects. And like I said, to start, I would approach it a little bit like a casino. So put a little bit of money into it, some play money, have fun with it, and you will get a feeling very soon. There are plenty of resources online on YouTube how to approach it. It's just one thing that I would be aware of. You will not become a millionaire overnight. The videos that are telling you this are usually scams. You can grow your money, but it's quite a process. And of course, also think if you invest into something, you have a positive impact.
Going back to what you said about conventional banks investing clients' money in harmful industries, are there any policies working towards this? Is there an active discourse on this?
So there certainly is a discussion going on, but the big banks, they don't have the pressure yet. Like right now, there are some investors' initiatives that are really starting to go into this direction. So for example, there is one movement called Say on Climate. Investors usually know the so-called Say on Remuneration. So they already have a say sometimes. They can give a vote on what the executives have as a remuneration. And now some companies started to apply this so-called say on climate. So I know LafargeHolcim, Nestle just started with it, that their investors can have a say, can have a vote on the climate strategy of the company. But from the policy side so far, there's not really much going on because of course it's also a big industry behind where governments are really just starting to work towards it.
Can we expect that policies might come in at a certain point, or there's no conversation on how to handle this sort of issue?
There are policies being discussed, so especially in the European Union, it's all about this big topic called carbon pricing, where they want to put a price on carbon that companies emit. And of course, companies who can lower their emissions or even generate a positive carbon output, so gather more carbon than they emit, they can even make some profit with it. But this is really in discussion right now, and it's a movement that is starting. And that's why many companies are also taking steps right now, because they want to be prepared as soon as these policies are rolling out.
Of course. So, Elia, you are currently working on a research that has the aim of understanding how can global companies finance its transition to net zero carbon emissions while keeping customers happy, value its employees, and respecting the suppliers. Can you let us know a little bit more about this topic?
The question here is really, as you mentioned, it's how can global companies finance this net zero transition? Many global companies are starting right now with intentions towards net zero emissions. And the first steps they have to take are usually quite easy. The first step is usually to reduce your carbon emissions in-house by becoming more efficient or changing to renewable energy sources. But these are usually only 5 to 10% of a company's carbon footprint. Most of the carbon emitted is throughout the value chain, which is also called Scope 3 emissions. And now transforming the value chain to net zero is more difficult and requires some investment. And that's what I'm researching. I'm researching now how the companies can finance this and if they have already the answers for it.
A very interesting topic. I am curious to see how it evolves. This brings us to our last question. Do you have any financial bite for us?
I think I do. So money at the moment is very costly. Back in the days, people used to say cash is king. But cash is not king anymore. So having cash or having your money in your bank, it just loses value because we have very low interest rates or even negative interest rates sometimes. So it makes sense to invest your money to grow it and let your money work for you. So instead of letting your money sleep, you can activate it and make it work for you and your values. And maybe to give you a little hint where it could go to, in Switzerland, for example, but it's similar all over the world, the growth of sustainable finance market in the last 10 years was 3,500%. So 35 times more than the original volume. So this may indicate where you can put your money into.
Great, that's the financial bite I like, and I will definitely use this bite for myself. This brings us to the end of our interview. Thank you very much for your time, Elia. I very much enjoyed our conversation, and I'm curious to see how this industry will evolve.
Thank you too, Anaïs. I really enjoyed speaking about this topic, and I'm also very keen on how we can shape this world that is coming up together.
Thank you for listening to The Financial Bite. We invite you to visit our website on finadium.com and to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for additional content.